Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see you all today. Hallelujah. Everybody excited to be in church today? Well, praise the Lord. Well, even if you're not, we'll get you there. Amen. If you want to go with us, praise God. Hallelujah. If you want to go somewhere good, you know, I've been serving God now for, well over 15 years. Over 15 years? We made it for 15? Yeah. It was somewhere around 16 years, I guess, something like that. I've been serving God to the best of my ability, with all my heart, glory to God. And I have seen the Lord pour out amazing blessings in our life as a result. Amen. We have gone from being from the very bottom, looking up to reach bottom, amen, to being above. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that will come at you in life, but thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the direction of the Holy Ghost and the direction that's found in God's Word, the help that we have truly through God. Amen. You know, it's funny to me. I was asked recently by a family member who isn't a believer. I was asked recently, how do you prepare messages? And it's like, it's kind of interesting because it's kind of hard to explain to somebody who doesn't understand spiritual things how we do this. Because, you know, a lot of people think that, well, we just go to church and we believe in this God, that we do this thing, we just believe just solely on faith, that there's no proof, that there's no interaction. One of the things that I love about the lessons that I've got through coming to family church is that we do have an interactive God, that we have a God that does interact with us, that helps us, that blesses us, that talks to us, that will direct us and guide us, that will give us assurance and things that we can know, amen? And I love the fact that we can know some things, amen? It's so good that we can know some things, that we can have the very direction of God, the God who created everything, that we can have his direction and he can keep blessing us, amen? And that we can know that we can trust him and be in his blessing, amen? You know, as I was sitting there, as my wife was doing announcements, I heard this in my spirit. You can always find an excuse. You can find ways to try and justify why you don't do what God has directed. But you will do so continuing on the same path of lack. Let me read that one more time. You can always find an excuse. You can always find ways to try and justify why you don't do what God has directed. But you will do so continuing on the same path of lack. You know, I've dealt with a lot of different people, a lot of different things over the years. And one thing I can say is the same, is that problems that humanity faces are very few, and they always come down basically to the same few things, and that's people's resistance to change. People resist to change. People, you know, and I lived this life myself. I lived in a place that was, you know, that wasn't good, that wasn't helpful, that was hurtful, amen, to me and to others that were around me. And living in that place, as I look back on it, as I reflect on it, the deception that I was under was that I didn't realize that it was because I wasn't willing to change, amen? I wanted to keep doing things the same way I was doing them. I just wanted them to be different. Well, how many know you can only mix something a certain way so many times before you realize you're going to get the same cake. You're going to eat the same thing. And so we have to understand that the Word of God, the reason we've been given the Word of God is because it's different than we are. Amen? It's different than our natural being is. We've been given the Word of God to help us change into what God has designed us to be. You know, if we would truly understand or get an understanding of that, we could start seeing those things in our lives. But this is a reason that why there will be Christians that will sit in churches year after year after year and have zero change in their lives. Why do they do that? Because they haven't changed. They've never embraced the Word of God, but we're not going to do so, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Today's message is called Bottomed Out and Spinning. Bottomed Out and Spinning. And the name comes from this. I was thinking about, you know, I have a four-wheeler that I occasionally will do things like plow my yard with. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, you need trails in your yard to be able to walk to the buildings and stuff like that. But when we get a lot of snow, you know, a four-wheeler will go through a lot. I put some good tires on it. Got a real good deal on some real good knobby tires. And, man, it goes even better than it did before. But even still, you know, when you get to a certain amount of depth of snow, you just bottom out and start spinning. You don't go anywhere. Amen. And the correlation here is that I see a lot of people that this happens to in the church. They get to a place where they, you know, they're going along with the things of God and they're going along with life. And then all of a sudden it seems like, you know, pretty soon they're kind of start slowing down and they're just not getting very far. And then all of a sudden they're not getting anywhere at all. They're sitting there just spinning their tires. You know, I have a kind of a popular phrase in my house. I've said it to my son many times, you know, just in raising him. But I often tell him, don't just spin your tires. If you're just spinning your tires, you know what I mean? If you're just sitting there and you're just not getting anywhere, and you got to look at what the problem is. Now, of course, on the four-wheeler, when I'm on the four-wheeler and I'm plowing, and I know what the problem is. There's too much snow underneath it. And so no matter if I have four-wheel drive, I could have taller tires, but as long as I have all that snow, all that stuff built up underneath me, I'm not going anywhere. And so you have to clear out the problem in order to get on to going forward, amen? And so it's the same way with our faith. We have to keep things cleared out, amen? We have to keep ourselves in check. Glory to God. You know, I was raised in with good people in the church, but I was raised in a church that didn't understand faith, didn't understand some of these principles of God. They preach basic things, but you know, a lot of the things never really got to the heart of what man's problems were. And what I noticed was that as I went through life, I was God who was good. I was told about this God who could change my life, but I was never taught about interaction with him. I was never taught about really about my part in that. Amen. And we have to understand that where we go with God has as much or actually more to do with us than it does with him, because his plan is already written. God's, you know, I see it like this is, you know, when we're driving and we're going somewhere, maybe, you know, far away, and we're on a highway and we're trying to get there and we're going down the road. You know, you get to a place where you know you're going to need a stop coming up, right? You got, maybe your gas tank is getting low. Maybe your bladder tank is getting full. Maybe you're getting hungry or something like that. Or maybe you just need to get out and stretch. But, you know, sometimes there's always rest stops going by. And there's been many times where I've gone by a rest stop and I thought as it's coming up, I should stop. And as I get up close to it, I'm thinking, man, we should stop. And I drive right by it thinking, maybe I should have stopped. And then a few miles down the road, especially when it's late at night and it's dark out, and you go mile after mile after mile and nothing has changed, and you're just like, there's no more rest stops. You're thinking, man, I should have stopped back there. Well, that's what we do a lot with the plan of God. We're going through life thinking our life is just a highway, and that we just, you know, I mean, they did sing a song about it, right? Life is a highway, guys. I mean, we got the wisdom right there from on MTV or whatever, however you get your wisdom now, praise the Lord. But so life is a highway, and we want to ride it all night long, right? We get on it, we just go. But listen, sometimes you got to stop and look around. Sometimes you got to stop and check. Sometimes you got to get direction. Sometimes you got to know the path that you're on. Because if you don't know the path that you're on, you don't know if it's wrong or not. Amen? And so we don't want to be bottomed out and spinning. You know, there was this, I watched this YouTube video. I know, this is, praise the Lord, there's some utterance here, so let's just flow with it. But, you know, I was watching this YouTube video. This guy was ticked off. He had some carpet layers into his house. And instead of going down the main driveway, they went down this other driveway. And the reason he was ticked was because they didn't take up, they didn't listen to the clues as they were going. Or they didn't look at the clues as they were going. They're going down the driveway and they're getting farther away from the house. And then that driveway turns from a paved driveway to a non-paved driveway. And then that non-paved driveway starts getting lesser and lesser and lesser into pretty soon it's just like a field. And of course they keep going and it was wet out and they get to a place where they just got stuck. They couldn't go any further. Well, they should have never got to that place of getting stuck. Well, the same thing is with in life as a believer. You should never get to that place where you're stuck. We should always start looking at the signs. We should start looking at what's going on around us, noticing that, hey, you know something? We're running out of road here. We're running out of gas here. We're running out of power here. We're running out of something. We need to evaluate, reevaluate, look at things, and maybe we need to make a change. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Some people are afraid of change, but I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're a Christian, you better not be afraid of change, because one thing is sure, there will be change. You will be looking for change. You should be looking for change because there will always be change. Amen? Well, glory to God. With that, we can get into the Word. Turn with me to Galatians 6. Now, I want to tell you that I actually decided last week after I ministered here, this was the message I was going to preach. And as the week went on, of course, it seemed good between me and God to do so. But this came out of something that was said in both at both churches. You know, it was when I was praying over our MTC people. Praise the Lord, the people from our churches that were going up there. But I don't know if you may have remembered me saying that, how God works in us. Let me think about how I said it. But basically, how God works in us is we'll be seeking him for something and he'll give us opportunity. We'll seek God for money, but he'll give us a place to sow. Okay? We'll seek, maybe we're seeking God for healing and he'll give us somebody to minister to. And I realized as I was saying that this was a good place to go, and this is something that we should that should be taught, because it's been a while since these kind of things have been taught in these churches specifically. We have to understand that God works with us. He doesn't work apart from us. Amen? And with that, there's some principles in the word that we need to follow. Amen? So Galatians 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Glory to God. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This is a really important thing. And you know, whenever the Bible says don't be deceived, to me, that is a wake-up call. That's the road sign. That's, hey, you're running out of road here. That's you're getting on a dirt path. You need to look at stuff. Bridges out up ahead. Slow down. Amen? When we see the words, don't be deceived, every Christian, as they read those words, needs to pause and look and consider what it's saying. Amen? Because if the Bible says, the Bible, remember, this is written to the churches. We are a church. Praise the Lord. We are the church, we are the church of God. Praise the Lord. But we are a church as we gather together as well. But these letters are written to the churches. These are not written to unbelievers. This is not written to the world. It is not. Now, this principle applies to that, but the reason I say this is because we have to understand, just because we're in the church doesn't mean we're exempt from it. It means this is for us. It's for us to know. Don't be deceived. If the Bible tells us don't be deceived, what does that mean? Don't be deceived. You can be deceived. There is a possibility that if you don't listen to the instruction that is coming, you will be deceived. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we have to know that. And this is... deception is maybe one of the number one ways that people miss the plan of God and miss the blessing of the Lord as well. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. When it says God is not mocked, what it's saying here is this. God designed things to be a certain way, so they will always work that way. You're not going to change it because you want to. You're not going to change it because you don't like it. You're not going to change it because you plead and beg and cry to God to change it. Do you know there's a lot of people that are praying prayers to change things, to have God change things, and he can't change things because he is not mocked. You cannot live your life outside of the will of God and expect blessing of God to come upon your life. Now, God blesses us all. Every human is blessed to a certain extent. And if you don't believe me, if you are sitting here, you're a human, you are breathing, that is the very first place where you are blessed. And if we sat down together, even if you didn't believe me on that, I could probably point, as we talked about your life, I could point to a gazillion different ways where you're blessed, because God blesses everybody. But there's a difference between being generally blessed and purposely walking in the blessing of God. There's two totally different things there. And we purpose in our heart to not be just generally blessed, but we want to walk in the blessings of God. Now, when I say that, I don't mean our life is dedicated to just seeing what blessings we can get from God, because that's wrong too. Our life is dedicated. You know, it was actually interesting. This week I was thinking about some things. Has anyone heard of a Bitcoin? Does anyone know what a Bitcoin is? Most of us have heard of it now. You know, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. It's a cyber currency. It's not something that actually technically exists, but it does kind of. It's on in the. I'm describing it the basic way that I know about it. But basically, Bitcoin is another form of currency. And, you know, at first it wasn't really looked at that much. And then all of a sudden people started looking at it and started kind of trusting in it a little bit. And so as they started doing that, people started buying into it. So it's just like any stock on the stock market, right? If we want to just break this down, make it real simple. As people want it, the demand for it goes up. When the demand for it goes up, the price for it goes up, okay? Bitcoin started off, I remember at one point when I watched the show way back when, it was a couple hundred dollars for one Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is not something tangible that you own, but it's like having a credit. It's like having currency on credit is basically what it is. And so anyways, Bitcoin was doing that. It was a couple hundred dollars for a Bitcoin. And then it started jumping. And I remember when I started getting back into looking at it, it had jumped up to around, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $6,000 for one Bitcoin, from, you know, a couple hundred to $6,000. So as it kept going, you know, I thought at that time, I was like, you know something, maybe we should invest in a little bit of this. Just, you know, it doesn't mean you have to come up with $6,000. You can buy a portion of a Bitcoin kind of thing. You know, that's how it works. And so we could invest a little bit. I thought maybe we should do this because it may go again if it's like that. But it's like, man, it was all the way up to, it actually at one point went all the way up to 9,000 and then it backed off to 6,000. Do you know that today Bitcoin is over $40,000 for one coin? That's in less than just a couple years. Now, if I had just invested in it in that little time, just if I had owned one Bitcoin, which is $9,000, which really isn't, I mean, that's a lot of money to me, but still, we probably could have over the last few years figured out how to get $9,000 over several years, right? If we had invested, even if we had just taken a portion of our tax return or something and invested it, that would have been a big return in a short amount of time, amen? And so I'm not telling you to invest in it because it is a volatile thing and stuff like that. That's not the point. But the other day I was considering this and I was thinking about it. I was like, Lord, like if I had known that back then it was going to jump to 40,000, I surely would have found a way to buy it. And so you would have too. In fact, a lot of people wish they would have done it. And those who did are getting quite wealthy off of it right now. The reason that I say these things is because, you know, I was seeking the Lord and I was thinking about this and I was like, the knowledge, the understanding, if the Spirit of God had told me, praise the Lord, I could have bought that stuff. And I could have been, and God knows that I'm good with my money, amen. We do good things with our money, so that's not an issue. We're not, you know, coveting things and stuff like that, so praise the Lord. So we could have used it. But then the Lord, the Spirit spoke to me as I was thinking about this. He's like, yeah, but if you had sought me specifically for that, then you would have been seeking it, you would have been coveting it. Yeah. If you had been seeking me specifically for increase, if I had been after, like, Lord, how, make me rich, then it became coveting. Yeah. But see, what the Lord was showing me is if you just follow me, if you just listen to me, I will lead you into those things which I'll have you buy. Maybe it'll be Bitcoin, maybe it'll be silver, maybe it'll be gold, maybe it'll be something else, maybe it'll be a broken chair on the side of the road that turn around and sell, you know, who knows what it is. But the point that I'm trying to make is if we seek God and not the things, God will bless us. He will move us into the things. But it's so often when we're seeking, see, the Lord will speak to you through day-to-day things, amen? Don't be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And that can be a principle there. If you're sowing, you can think of your prayers as sowing. I'm praying to God. I'm going to God. Ask yourself, what do I pray for mostly? Now, any of us, if you pray at all, ask yourself, what do I pray for mostly? If I'm constantly praying for my stuff, Lord, help me here, help me there, and fix this and fix that. If that's the bulk of your prayers, we lived a life like that. There was a time when the bulk of our prayers were just, Lord, help us here and get us out of this and do this and do that. And do, you know what I mean? For me. What is that? It's sowing. I'm sowing to me. So what am I going to reap? I'm not going to reap God. I'm reaping more of me. And see, people don't realize that the principles of sowing is not just in your giving financially. It's not just what you do. It's every area of your life. If you spend most of your time not sowing towards God, just sowing to your own flesh, doing what you want to do, when you go to God in prayer and you want God to answer you and you're like, Lord, I need help here because now this chaos is in my life. And he's like, where have you been? You've been sowing to you. You haven't asked me what I want you to do. You haven't followed me. You haven't looked to me for guidance. You've been following your own heart, and then you come to me to fix it. And sometimes God in his grace and his mercy will even give us reprieve. He'll even fix it. I have done the stupidest things in life and seen God swipe in and fix it. But God will not do it every time. And he won't do it every time because if he does, what he does is he makes you an invalid. He makes you somebody who can't function. You're constantly needing help. God did not intend us to be people that constantly needed help. He intended us to be people that were the help. But how we enter that is when we decide, do we really want what God... See, there's a difference between wanting God's hand and wanting God's face. You know, the Bible says to seek his face and he'll hear from heaven, not seek his hand. Seeking his hand is what he can give you. When you seek his face, you say, God, I don't care about the rest of the stuff. I just want you. You see, everybody, when they first come into church, they come in seeking God's hand. And that's not completely wrong because they don't know any other way. And that's the way that it should be. Sure, come to church, get your help, but get changed. Find out the true way to get into God's blessing, the true way. God has more for each and every single one of us. And if you connect to him, if you start loving him, he will show you the path of more. It will be automatic because God wants you. He wants you in the path of more than you want to be in the path of more. Praise the Lord. I think so often is the story of the prodigal son. Of course, we're not reading it today, but the story of the prodigal son, you know, he had everything. And he ran away, right? He took what was his and what he ran away. But you know what's interesting I find about the story of the prodigal son? The father didn't chase him down. The father didn't go to him and say, listen, I can make it better. Because the prodigal son knew how it was to be better. He had to get to the place where he was hurting, and so often we're at the same place. We have to get to the place where we're broken and defeated till we understand that we can't do it by ourselves. God doesn't want us there, but if it takes us getting there for us to truly seek him, he'll let us get there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When we come back, with open arms, amen? In Genesis 8:22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So what can we be assured of? Tells us way back in Genesis. Seed time and harvest. Whatsoever a man sows, that he reaps. What kind of seeds have you been planting? Praise the Lord. You know, people that are planting good seeds are people that are after God. They sow into the church with their time. They sow into the church with their money. They sow into the ministry. The ministry meaning what is the church doing? You know, that's what the ministry is. If I ever say my ministry, it's the ministry that God has called me to. And so what am I doing with that? My ministry is to minister as a pastor. And so I'm in that ministry, amen? But that ministry affects other people's lives. And so does your ministry, because we're all called to some kind of ministry. Doesn't mean we'll all be pastors or all be speaking in front of people. But we're all called to something, amen? What does a man get from God? He gets what he sows. Praise the Lord. But when we say, what does he get from God? It doesn't mean that, you know, everything. It means what he gets from God or what she gets from God. You know, doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life is from God. You know, there's a lot of people that are having turmoil in their life. It has nothing to do with God. Turmoil is not from God. You know, so many people say, well, God won't put on me more than I can handle. That's true. But not everything that's put on you is God given. Amen. You know, like I remember, I'll never forget counseling a person sitting there early when I was early on pastoring. I was counseling them, and they were sitting there, and they had made decisions with a relationship that I knew was wrong, but they were insistent on it, so I couldn't say anything about it. And so they went through this, and about within a month's time, it turned around and got really sour really fast. And this person was sitting there, you know, crying in front of me and just tears running down their face. And I felt bad for them. My heart truly went out for them. I was there because I wanted to help them. I wasn't making fun of them or something like that or saying, see, this is what you get. It was none of that. But this person who was sitting there with tears running down their face, and they said to me, they're like, I know God won't put on more than you can handle, but I don't know about this time. And I'm like, wait a minute here. You wanted this relationship. You wanted it. God didn't say anything about this. God will let you choose wrong if you want to choose wrong. And when you choose wrong, he will also teach you right if you'll listen. See, God will let you choose wrong, but he'll also give you a way out. That's right, amen? But if you sit there and you make bad decision after bad decision, good counsel, guess what happens? You don't get blessed. You miss the blessing of God. Does that mean God will never fix it? No, it doesn't mean that. It might mean it'll take longer, amen? We know, we've seen in our lives, we've made financial decisions that were outside the will of God. We were getting direction from the Spirit. Don't do this. We did it anyways. And we paid for it sometimes for years. Yep. Praise the Lord. God will let you eat the fruit of your labor sometimes for a while, just so you can see just how bad it tastes. Because when something tastes really bad, you're not likely to go back to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we understand that what we get is what it has a lot to do. In fact, God, so what we should say is this, what we get from God will be a matter of what we sow. Amen? Now, you know, I also want to separate this. This is not just about works that you just have to work to get God's blessing. Because that's not entirely the case either. But the point being said is that God wants to lead us into things. He'll lead us into goodness, and he will lead us there if we follow him. But we do have to know that there is opposition that comes. Amen. There's opposition that comes if we don't do things right. There's opposition anyways, but it gives the devil a foothold if we don't. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to James. James 2. Glory to God. Remember, the word is meant to help us. James 2, verses 14 through 17. It says here, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Wow. Faith without works is dead. We cannot say, people kind of take this attitude about the church. The church should do this. The church should do that. And I often say it this way because this is the way that we understand it. If something's on your heart that you're saying something needs to be done, it's not your job to project that on another entity. That's your direction to do it. If all of a sudden you're like, well, the church should cover that person's mortgage payment. No, that means you should cover the mortgage payment. If it's stirring in you, then you do it. You say, well, you might say, I don't know if I can do that. I don't even have enough barely for my own. This is a place that's called sacrifice. If you truly believe the word of God, we have to understand something. A farmer does not get a crop if he doesn't plant a seed. So many times, it's like I said, people will be praying, God, Lord, I need more money. And he'll say, here's a place to sow. He'll send you somebody that needs money. So what do? Give them money. Because what you reap is what you sow. See, everybody just wants it handed to them. And this government that we have today and the society that we live in loves that. They love, free money. Because you know what people love? Free money. Give me more money. Oh, give it to me. I don't have to do anything for it. Great. That's got to be good. It makes people invalids. Praise the Lord. Listen, you know what? The stimulus, they talk about the stimulus. 2021, praise the Lord. 2020, they talked about a stimulus. You know what my family did not need? A stimulus. We didn't care about it. Why? Because we serve God. I don't need a stinking stimulus. Did we get a stimulus? Yes, we got it. Did we spend it? Yes, we spent it. But I didn't need it. I wasn't asking for it. I wasn't looking for it. I certainly wasn't going to go to the government and say, please give me more. Why? Because the government's not my God. The government has nothing to do with taking care of who I am. Praise the Lord. We got to get people to start realizing that the government is not their God. Listen, the Bible promises us if we do things according to the word, if we work hard and sow and tithe and do all these things, you know what the Bible promises us? Promises blessing. It promises us enough blessing to pour into other people's lives and to not worry about our own. It promises us extra. The Bible promises these things. These are things all through Scripture that we find as absolute truths. If you don't believe in that, you can't believe in the Word of God. And yet people, they want, we got to get bailed out here and bailed out here. Now listen, I am not saying that people won't have moments where they need help in something. I'm not against that. I'm talking about this mindset of constantly living off someone else. This mindset of constantly, this is the truth. People will embrace that kind of thinking and then they'll reject this kind of thinking. Because this kind of thinking is not easier. It's not easier to follow God because when you follow God, it makes you personally accountable. When you follow God, it makes you have to do something. When you follow God, you have to put works with your faith. You can't just say, listen, you Christian, you can't just say, I believe God and it'll just all come to pass. You know, by God, oh my God, oh, don't get me started here. I'm just going to get off on something real good. You know, this pandemic happened. And my wife and I, and we've been saying this from the beginning, you know, of course I sought the Lord on some things, what to do and sicknesses and all this stuff. And we made some decisions for our life. But we saw a lot of Christians make some real stupid decisions in the name of faith. They had no works, and we saw those same Christians, a lot of them, get real sick because they didn't pay attention to things. Listen, faith does not exempt you from everything that goes on around you. Faith will carry you through. Faith will strengthen you when you're being wise. But if you're going to go out and live stupid, you're going to eat the fruit of living stupid. Because part of life is in what we do. Part of a faith life. We can't separate our works from faith. And so if we're going out there and just doing, if God directs you to go into a TB ward or something like that, or someplace where there's some horrible disease, a hospital filled with corona-infected patients. If God tells you to go do that, and by the Spirit you know that you got to go in there and lay hands on each person and believe for their healing, well, praise God, you go do that. That's God, you know, if God actually told you to do that. But you got to make sure that God actually told you to do that. There's a lot of people that are moved just because, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm just going to do this. Well, that's stupid. God never told us to do that. Praise God. And so, in fact, we see that. We see Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, he says, don't tempt God. If you tempt God, you fail. What are people doing when they tempt God? That doesn't mean we'd be afraid of it either. The other side of it, the balance to this is we still meet. We do. We take protocol. We do. You know, if we don't know what's going on, we follow direction of people that know, because at least for a time. Why? Because that's what's called intelligence. That's called wisdom. You don't separate your life from wisdom. Faith doesn't. But see, this is the problem that happens so often in faith camps is they throw true wisdom, they throw it right out the window. Yeah. Well, bless God, I'll just live however I want. No, you won't. You will live in trouble. You will live in trial, and you will live without the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. I woke up nice today. Praise the Lord. But it's the truth. We got to understand these things. We got to understand that God is not just, he's not just, he's not a vending machine. You put in, I heard this in a video we watched recently. You don't put in a faith coin and just get out what you want. That's not the way it works with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God isn't a vending machine. He doesn't exist just to bless us. You know what I mean? Or just to do whatever our bidding is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. What does it profit someone? He says, if you don't give, what is it good if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food and you say, be warm and filled? Praise God. You know what I mean? Like, there's times where brothers and sisters of the faith will truly be hard up on their luck, but they shouldn't live that way. You should listen, I'm just telling you right now, if you're a brother or sister who lives in utter poverty, we've been there. There's a way out. I said there's a way out. You shouldn't live there. If you're just living in perpetual poverty, you're spinning your wheel. Something's got to change. And if something's got to change, it means you've got to do something different. So come to us. Talk to us. We'll help you. We'll teach you the way. Praise the Lord. But if you just want to keep spinning your wheels and keep doing the thing, listen, God brought us out of the gutter and put us up on a place of prominence. Amen? Glory to God. Why? Because that's what God does. His Spirit lifts us up. It brings us up. Brings us higher. Amen. Glory to God. I believe God is a healer. I believe wholeheartedly that God is a healer. But we can't live. And that doesn't mean also. I mean, we have some folks in here that, you know, that got in contact with the virus. They got the virus. They got infected, as it were. Amen. And some of them dealt with some symptoms. It doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God and that you're, you know, there's a virus going around. That doesn't mean that, but listen, they're all still here. Yeah. I know that, that they're still alive. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And certainly, if you look at it, there's probably some things that you could take away from it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Mark 6, 34. Church helps us because it doesn't tell us what we want to hear. It tells us what we need to know. And I've often said it's not what you do right that hurts you. Right? It's what you do wrong. And so the rebuke, if there is any rebuke, it's not to get down on you and make you feel bad about yourself. It's to make you go, oh. And by the way, I can't believe, I couldn't believe that nobody knew who the Cajun man was. Or that, my wife said that a lot of people didn't know who the Cajun, I guarantee you, guy. I had to show her a video. And some of you still have no idea. I don't even know what he's talking about now. Well, let the ignorant be ignorant still. Mark 6, 34. Guarantee. Mark 6, 34. And, oh, this, I love this. This count, oh my God. Oh, this is so good. I just love it, getting into it. The word, oh, the word is so rich. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having not having a shepherd. What was he moved with compassion for? It wasn't their poverty. It wasn't their sicknesses. It wasn't all the stuff. He had compassion that they didn't have a shepherd. They were like sheep having no shepherd. That should tell us something. We need shepherds. Amen. Glory to God. So he began to teach them many things. Probably that they needed a shepherd was one of those things. Amen. When the day was now far spent, let me see here. Does it say? I'm just looking. It doesn't say what time they come out, I don't think, right there. But it said when the day was far spent. You know, people have a hard time sitting in church for an hour. But Jesus sat here and taught for, like, well, the day was far spent. We can't say that yet, can we? I mean, lunch might come and go, but we can't say the day is far spent yet. Now, when the day was far spent, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Praise the Lord. So we see this here. God is directing them, right, to be the ones to go do it. You give them something to eat. He's like, you don't look for, you know, and of course they sit there and should we go buy, spend this much on food and stuff like that? But he's directing them to do it. That's what I love about these scriptures because we see this. Of course, we know this is where Jesus is going to feed a multitude of people. But even in that, he's directing his disciples, you do it. You do it. You do the thing that is needed. See, you can think that you don't have the ability to do it, but with God, all things are possible. See, we use that scripture, so we stick with God, well, all things are possible. We love that because we use it, well, if I need to get over this, all things are possible with God. Or if this mountain is too big for me, all things are possible with God. Or if I need more and I don't have enough, all things are possible with God. But really, the reason he tells us all things are possible is because we can reach people. We can do the work of the ministry. We can do the things that God has called us to do. But we have to be willing to do it. Amen. You give them something to eat. And he said to them, should we buy the food? He said to them, how many loaves do you have here? Go and see. And of course, this is what he was talking about. And when they found out, they said, five loaves and two fish. Amen. Now, there were thousands of people there. Some accounts, 5,000, maybe more. There was thousands of people where five loaves of bread and a couple fish feed 5,000 people. No, it wasn't enough. But they had to mix faith with it. They had to start with where they were at and work from there. How much do you have? What do you have? Start there. See, this is the thing that so many people don't get about God. They have big, sometimes when you come into the church, you have big aspirations for what God will do in your life or what you want God to do in your life. But we forget that he starts with us right where we're at. You haven't got to be great. to make something happen. Praise the Lord. All you have to do is be faithful. Jesus said, you do it. Are you connected to this? And this is essentially what he was saying to those disciples. Are you connected to what's going on here? Are you connected to me? Are you following me? Are we going in vain? Because if you were, you should know that we are can accomplish, fully accomplish. Jesus didn't tell them to feed them because he wanted them to go out and buy the food. He wanted them to perform the miracle. He wanted them to have the faith to understand that whatever was present was enough to do what God had them to do. Amen. Glory to God. And so many people, they're looking at things like, you know, they're looking to, God's trying to break us out of our box. We're trying to have God bless us in our box. But see, the thing is our box can only hold so much. And so God could do that. He could constantly bless us right where we're at, but we would never grow into anything more. We'll never get a bigger box. You know, when the Bible talks about blessing, the cup runneth over and all that stuff, and we hear these things, you know, but it doesn't do us a lot of good if our cup is, like, listen, if I give you $1 million in cash, right, that'd be if I gave you a check for $1 million, that'd be a lot easier. If I gave you $1 million in pennies, you're going to have a hard time. Amen? It's not going to bless you because you know what? That you're going to try to get to wherever you're going with $1 million in pennies, which is probably a lot of pennies, I'm just guessing. $1 million in pennies, and you're probably going to lose some along the way, right? That stuff that you lose, is that going to bless you at all? Absolutely not. What God wants us to do is he wants us to step out of our box into his box because it can hold more. And when I mean hold more, I'm not talking about piling up for yourself and just so, oh, now I can be rich. And God just wants to make me rich. And see, there's so many prosperity preachers. I preach prosperity. But there's so many prosperity preachers that are like, just believe God for more and just ask God for more. And if you want this, by God, you just ask for it. You just seek it and God will give it. If you believe enough, you can have it. Glory to God. We can get excited. Woo! We can have people dancing and running over chairs and jumping and shouting and getting all excited and still leave and still be poor. Why? Because God doesn't care about the money. He cares about you being expanded. He wants you to be able to receive all he has. He wants you to be able to take that to the world. But what happens is so many people get their eyeballs on, oh, you make me rich and you make me bigger and you know, and you make it for me. And they get the vision right down on themselves, right where the devil wants it. Do you know what trial is all about? It's all about you. Do you realize that yet? Did you go through anything? Did anyone go through anything this week? Did you like what you went through? You didn't like it, but you know what that thing was about? It was about you. Do you realize that? When you're going through something, you're like, I don't want this, but it's about you. The trial is about you. It's to get you to focus on you when you don't have enough, when you can't make it, when you can't do it. It's all about you. He didn't ever tell you to conquer the mountains. He conquered them for us. He said, follow me. Why? Because he knows the way up the mountain and the way over the mountain, the way through the trial, the way through the wilderness. God already knows. He was in all points tempted as we are. He is compassionate. We have a high priest who is compassionate, knowing, because he was tempted the same way we were tempted, but he did it without sin. And what is he doing with us? Trying to take us to a place that has no sin. He's bringing us closer to him. And in that bringing, it brings us up. It brings us out. It brings us over. It brings us through. But the trial will make you focus on you. Listen, if I come up to you and I kick you in the knee right now, just pick somebody in here. I'll just come up and kick you in the knee. What do you, Simeon wants to get kicked in the knee. You ready, Simeon? Now this is a spiritual principle I'm putting into place here. So you got to take one for the team, all right? Not really. We're not going to really kick him. But see, he'll look at him. He just put his knee out. I love this kid, man. He's awesome. Praise the Lord. If it's got to be, it's got to be, you know. That just shows his heart. I mean, honestly, it shows his heart. He's a good guy. Good, awesome young man. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But if I went and kicked him in his knee, what is he going to focus on probably the rest of the service? His hurting knee. If I come up and stomp on your toe, you're not going to hear anything else I preach. Praise the Lord. You might punch me, but you're going to be thinking about that. The trial, the hurt, the pain, suffering, sickness, all these things are to get you to focus on you. This is how I know that these things aren't from God. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, God will allow us to go through suffering sometimes to teach us things. I'm not saying that. There are times where we will be without. There are times God will even allow you to go, I believe, will allow you to go through sickness. Does God put it on us? I believe God never puts sickness on a human. Never. It's completely anti. It's completely opposite of what he says. God does not bring death to the human race. God did not usher in death. He doesn't bring in death. He allows death because death is better for us. And again, you know, I'm bringing it up again, but we have to understand death is not a bad thing for a Christian. If we get to a place of death, we don't want to die young. We don't want to die early because we have things to accomplish for God. But it's not just so we can live here. Listen, it's not, listen, if somebody didn't get to live a full life here, that's not tragic if they go to heaven. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, and this is something like if I had to deal with it myself, I understand I would probably go through tears. I would have a hard time with it. But we have to remind ourselves of the truth. If somebody doesn't live a full life here, but they go to heaven, it doesn't matter because heaven is much better. Heaven, there's no pain. Heaven, there's no sorrow. Heaven, there's no suffering. Heaven, there's no more attack. Heaven, there's just God. It's just blessing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why does God have us here? He has us here for purpose. But so many people don't fulfill the purpose. So many people are wandering around this earth like lost sheep with no idea. Well, that moves me to compassion as well. Praise the Lord. And that's what Jesus was seeing. Amen. He says, you feed them. You do it. God could have just as easily. We know this. God made, he pulled man out of the dirt, right? Isn't that what he did? The Bible tells us he formed man out of dirt. Do you think Jesus, being who he was, do you think Jesus couldn't have made bread and fish out of the dirt there? He didn't need their not enough food anyways. Do you understand what the point that I'm trying to make here? Jesus didn't need the bread and the fish to get these people food. He made you, and Jesus was there when God made us. He was there. You know, probably had a pat or two. You know what I mean? A poke. Maybe he gave us the belly button. You know, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Or some people gave the belly button, you know, because some people have an Audi. Not everybody's an innie. I forgot. But everybody in my world's an innie, but, you know, there might be some Audis out there somewhere. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But he was there when he created us. He didn't need their bread and fish, but he wanted their participation, which is the same thing that God is still wanting from us. He just wants our participation. God could have done, he could have ruled the earth. In fact, coming up soon to a theater near you, now praise the Lord, coming up soon, Jesus will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. He will rule in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Glory to God. Right? He's going to do that. We know that's coming. It's sometime in the future where Jesus is going to come back and sit on the throne and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Glory to God. He could have done that the whole time. But he didn't want to do it that way. He wanted to include us. He was like, no, you know, listen. There's nobody, we have the big stupid bowl. Super Bowl tonight, right? There's a Super Bowl that people are going to watch at. They're going to watch the Super Bowl on TV. You know, I don't like football, but that's okay if you do. Praise the Lord. We'll get you sanctified, but so if you watch the Super Bowl, but there's probably few people that really watch the Super Bowl, sit there and watch the game, and don't at some point go, man, I wish I could throw the ball like that, or run with the ball like that, or I wish I could tackle somebody like that, or that's like in the heart of man. That's what's getting you to go, yeah, woo, getting excited about it. That's what's like getting you bent, man. That's why you just want to get out there. Like, you get so excited when you're watching that game and when your team does the stupid thing, you're like, I could have done it better. You see, you want to participate. This is part of why it's so exciting to people, because it's the most they can participate. But nobody wants to just sit. Nobody really wants to sit on the sidelines and go, just watch everybody else. If there's any player that's on that team that's sitting on the sidelines, they want to, is the sidelines right? I got that right. Praise the Lord. They're sitting on the stage. They're watching. They want to be out there playing. Why? Because they want to be participants in what God, in what's going on. Amen. Well, we should be participants in what God is doing. God's like, listen, I could come do it. Jesus said, Jesus could have stayed longer than he stayed, but he didn't. He said, and he could have done it all and just said, disciple, you just watch me because I'm God. I'll do it. This is how unselfish God is. Oh my God. He's so unselfish. He said, no, come here. What little boy doesn't love when their dad says, you want to pound the nail? You want to use the air nailer? You want to use the table saw? No, you don't tell. I never told my kids that. Praise the Lord. My dad told me that. Just kidding. I have family that actually cut fingers off and saws and stuff. But still, like you, I remember when I was a kid and being able to pound a nail. You know, you pound it crooked, but you know, you still just to be able to do that was exciting. To be able to climb up on the roof. I remember getting up on the roof and when we were putting down plywood, it said, "Let me on the roof," you know, and to be part of it. I wanted to be part of what was going on. I wanted to participate. Amen. But that's what God wants us for us too. He wants us to participate. God could have just as easily made the food from dirt, but he said, no, bring what you got. And one of the reasons he did that was fun for participation, but two, because whoever brought the food, he could bless. When they brought it in faith saying, you know what, Lord, I know that this isn't enough for me to do with, but I know you can do something with it. That's how I presented myself to God, like every Sunday. Like, Lord, here I am. Now, like, I know me, and I think you know me too, but in case you didn't, I'll tell you again. But this is how inadequate I am to pastor. This is how inadequate I am to minister. This is how inadequate I am to do anything you want me to do. But here I am. You know what God says? Awesome. Well, use it. Praise the Lord. I'm not even five loaves and two fish. I mean, I'm not even that good, man. But notice what happened. There's leftover. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got time real quick. Can I have just a few more minutes here? Genesis 26. We're about to close, I promise you. Remember, God will bless us through opportunity. When you're asking for something, look for the opportunity. Look for the opportunity. If you have nothing, I'm telling you right now, this is great. This is a great test of faith. If you have absolutely nothing, you have nothing good about you, just go before God after this message and say, Lord, I'm going to trust this one thing. I'm going to trust that you'll give me opportunity to bless. And so I'm going to look for that opportunity. And when you see the opportunity, you follow that opportunity. And if you aren't blessed, then I'll let you call me a liar. Praise the Lord. Amen. Josh, I need you next week to take a survey of people coming through the doors. Just kidding. Praise the Lord. No, I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. It doesn't mean you're going to be blessed instantly, but you'll see it. And God will speak to you if your heart is truly open to him. But if you're just like, I don't know. I'll do it, but I don't believe it anyways. Well, probably ain't going to have anything happen. Anyways, Genesis 26:1. Through 6. It says here, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Now, this is really important. Here's the direction of God. Don't go where you perceive that it's better. Stay right where I have you. How many Christians lose the plan of God because they don't just stay put? Did God bring you in? I don't know. I'm assuming he did because you're here somehow. Amen. Maybe somebody else did, but maybe God used them. But my point is I didn't make you. Glory to God. God brings you to a place for a reason. Amen. Stay where I tell you to stay. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. Look at what he says. Dwell in the land of famine and I will be with you and bless you. What happened? I mean, what does it matter what's going on in the world to you if you're a Christian in faith? It does not matter. Like, it doesn't matter because however it's going to go, God is going to bless us. He will always take care of us. He will always see us through. Praise the Lord. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Now, we know this, that those who are of the faith, right, are children of Abraham. Hello, I'm of the faith, you're of the faith, we're children, the land that was sworn to them is sworn to us. In other words, the blessing, amen? Glory to God. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. In your seed, in the children that you will bless the world. How do we look at ourselves? Well, we are supposed to be a blessing to the world. Do you look at your children? If you got little kids here, you're a blessing to the world. You are made to be a blessing to the world. Listen, do you have kids that are astray right now? You are made to be a blessing of the world. You can say that to them. They can't argue it. They can try. But your faith is greater than their faith. How do I know? Because you're standing. You're in church. You're the one who's doing it. Listen, just look at him. Speak the truth. You're a blessing to the earth. You may not know it. You may not see it. But you're a blessing to the earth. And not in the state you're in. The state you're in ain't a blessing to nobody. But what God's got for you, that's a blessing to the world. Hallelujah. And know it. Glory to God. But know it about yourself as well. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I'll say it if you want me to say it. I just follow you, Lord. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. I'm just going to say it. I don't know your name. I don't know who you are. Never seen you before. But in my heart, I just want you to know that the Lord just spoke, had me speak this to you. You're a blessing to the earth. God has made you to be a blessing to the earth. If you believe that, if you'll believe that, and you'll run with it, and you'll follow God, you'll see it come to pass. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I didn't mean to point you out to embarrass you or anything like that, but I just know in my heart I had to say that, so glory to God. Can I have your first name? Denise? Praise the Lord, Denise. I'm Pastor Jeff. Good to meet you, by the way. It doesn't happen every week, but when the Lord wants to point something out, he does. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessing to the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what does it say here in verse 6? So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Where's Gerar? I have no idea, but that was the land that God called him to. Praise the Lord. That was where God called him to, and that's what he did. Now I want you to say, and this is where we're going to end. Go over to verse 12 and verse 13. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper. So he reaped 100-fold in the first year, and that was just his beginning of prospering. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Give me some of that. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. He began to prosper at 100-fold. I don't know where you're at, but 100-fold is certainly better than where you're at. Amen. And if that's just the beginning of it, watch out. Hallelujah. God's got more. Then Isaac sowed and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Praise the Lord. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Woo! Why? Because he sowed in the land of famine. Get what the point is here. The whole point of all of it is when you're in the land of famine, it doesn't look good. It looks like every bite might be your last bite. It looks like every penny might be your last penny. Every dollar might be your last dollar. But if you will follow God and you will follow his leading, he will give you opportunity to be blessed. He will give you opportunity to climb up out of that mess. He will give you opportunity to walk in everything that he has intended you to walk in. You are meant to be a blessing to the earth. And if you will follow his spirit, you will go all the way through to the full blessing of God. You will be a blessing to all those around you because that is what God has made you to be. That is what God has made me to be. That is what God has made you to be. And if we go along together, we'll get there together. Hallelujah. And we'll be shouting about it. We'll be yelling about it. Someday we'll be just looking back and looking at all that time in the past and say, oh, aren't we glad we listened to God? Hallelujah. This is what God has for people who love him. This is what God has for people who follow him. If you will get hungry for God, if you will follow God, if you will submit yourself to the word, God will change your life. It is a matter of a fact. It is a guarantee. It is written forever in heaven. He has to stand by his word or he's a liar. And God is not a man that he should lie. He is the God of truth. He is a God of infinite ability. And he has placed his love. He has placed his grace upon your life. All you have to do is decide to walk in it, child of God.